You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and that means we can praise the Lord. If you work a Monday through Friday schedule, that means that the end of your work week is in sight, and I hope that you've already got your eyes set on worshiping the Lord this weekend with the saints here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. If you do not have a church home, if you're new to the area, if you are just looking for a place that you can come and you will experience the blessing of God and have the opportunity to be a blessing, I would be honored if you would choose to visit Merritt Assembly of God. Our service on Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30, and we've got some exciting things that are coming up in the months ahead, which we will let you know more about as they approach. Would like to ask you if you would be praying next week. The General Council of the Assemblies of God, it meets every 2 years, and that meeting will be taking place, and pray that those meetings go well, that they bring glory and honor to the Lord, that there's unity among the brethren, that there's some great worship time and word time and fellowship time. And if you just pray that all of those thousands of people that are coming, it's not just ministers, but alongside the General Council is also what we call our Fine Arts Festival. Tens of thousands of young people come to gather, and they compete in a bunch of different categories. There's singing, there's instrumentals, there's human videos, there's preaching. There's a lot of different exhibitions of the gifts that God has given. And so if you would be praying for those young people, plus there is a lot of ministry that takes place out in the community during that week as well. So we appreciate your prayers. Going to go back to Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to read back from verse number 1, and we may revisit verse number 3 before we move on to verse number 4. But it says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. So this Revelation 19:1, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's verse number 8. So, just as a way of recapping, this particular declaration of Alleluia, is because of not only what belongs to God, salvation and glory and honor and power, but because he also executes judgment. And in his judgment of that person who has done spiritual harm to the community, excuse me, to the community that Jesus died to save, it says that there has been judgment upon her, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And so I just want to praise God that vengeance belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. There's a study that I've wanted to do. I've just never had time to really address it the way that I would like to. But it is all of those things that God says are his, that they belong to him. And it is not up for us to reappropriate things that God has declared to be his. One of those is vengeance. And so the enemy has plotted you spiritual harm, plotted to steal, to kill, to destroy, doesn't have any good plans for you, and he wants you to miss the mark, miss the point, and live your life focused on all of the wrong things. And, you know, we have a Savior who wants to make it possible for us to stay on course, stay on target, and continue to avail ourselves of the blessings of God so we can live our life to the glory and honor of God. So here's one of the things that I want to point out to you, is that vengeance belonging to God means that, and he says he will repay, that even if we don't see it with our eyes, that does not mean that it's not going to be dealt with. So one of the objectives that I have whenever I'm dealing with a situation, and I want to make sure that I deal with it in the right way to bring glory and honor to God, is I go to the Lord in prayer and I pray, God, would you be Lord over my thoughts, my emotions, my words, so that I don't say anything birthed out of my flesh, but instead I speak words from the throne of heaven. I pray my carnal nature out of it. Because if we're not careful, our flesh will react the way that flesh always reacts. And that is, when we're attacked, we turn right around and attack others. That's the flesh. God says we're supposed to pray for those who treat us badly, and so we should. And that we should bless them, so we should. And he also says that we do not have to focus on the vengeance, because he is going to do that. And it is a source of praise that belongs to God, where we can say, praise the Lord, because at some point in time in the future, he will have avenged on spiritual enemies the very life that they deprived of those that Jesus had redeemed. So when you go to praise God that you do not have to fixate on righting every wrong. Now, there may be times when God will tell you what to do, but please understand that vengeance belongs to him. So don't touch the things that belong to God in a manner that God does not want you dealing with it. Sometimes the word that God will have you to say is nothing, so that he can speak sovereignly from his throne. So there is that aspect. And it goes on and it talks about, here's the second alleluia. Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. So don't just praise God whenever you have the initial victory, but you praise God for perpetual victory. So there are things that God did in my life, you know, 60 years ago. And I can still praise him today because the impact of what he did 60 years ago is still showing up in my life today. So God just doesn't want to give you a victory in a battle. God wants to give you a decisive victory over ungodly tendencies, ungodly habits, ungodly attacks. He wants you living in perpetual victory. So where the world wants to sentence people to, you know, being canceled and things like that, God wants to sentence us to life. He doesn't want to sentence us for life. He wants to sentence us in a way that we are liberated to live the life that he's always called us to live. So when you go into a court, they pronounce a sentence, and that means how long you're going to be incarcerated, how long you're going to be cut off, how long you're going to be on probation, or in some cases, how long you are going to exist before they sentence you to being executed. God sentenced us to life. So as you prepare to go into this weekend, I would encourage you to praise God for not only the things that he's done for you spiritually, but praise God for the things that he has done, and you can still see the evidence of that victory showing up. Maybe you had a fractured relationship and God restored it, so you can praise God for a restored relationship that has been successful now for a long, long time. Maybe you had a disease that was trying to take you out, and Jesus healed you, and you should thank God today that the evidence of God's victory is still rising up, that you are healthy in your body, healthy in your mind, and can, you know, maybe it's that God gave you a breakthrough in your finances, and you have continued to see that victory over and over and over again. I pray that as you continue to see God's decisive, overwhelming victory, that you continue to praise him. May it be a source of continual praise. That brings us to where we are today in verse number 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. I would like to point out that the description here, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, these are worshipers who are in the closest proximity to God, who always behold him, who know him way better than what we know him. And because of their proximity, because of their relationship, because of their awareness of his perfection and his holiness and his power and his righteousness and his justice and his victory, these people are, they humble themselves, they worship him, they position themselves in a perspective, in a condition, in a position, if you will, where they say, Amen. Alleluia. So they God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. A lot of times when people get to know someone better, they are exposed to maybe the reality. They might be exposed to some less than optimal moments. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, that familiarity, that proximity will cause us to see things in other people that are less than glamorous. And you have those areas. I have those areas. All God's children have those areas. We are not perfect. Our goal is to be holy as God is holy. I want to be mature. I don't want to be immature. I want to be as perfect as God will make me. I don't want to be excusing imperfection. I'm just telling you that a lot of times, the more access we have, the more we are going to see, because we live in a fallen world, we will see flaws. We will see less than stellar moments. We may hear things come out of people's mouths that, you know, are not what we think they should be. I've heard people say things, and it's like, I can't believe that those words just came out of that person's mouth. And, you know, I can say this. There have been times that it's like, I can't believe I just said that. So, We've got to make sure that whenever we're dealing with other people, that we realize we're dealing with people and they're not perfect. So this story goes back to the early days of the Refresh radio program. I don't know if this lady remembers, or I don't even know if she's alive. I just remember, you know, I could go back, I could find the date of that event, because my daughter had just bought a car, and my wife and my daughters, we were in Walmart, and we had just come through a torrential downpour, one of the worst rainstorms I've ever driven in, driving on a road. I don't remember what road it was. I was just thankful when I got off of it. I was thankful we didn't have an accident. I was thankful that we made it home. And then it had taken a long time because we were on our way back from Apopka. And we stopped in Walmart, and there was a lady who recognized my voice from the Refresh radio program. And it was the first time that anybody had recognized my voice. And it was I was very appreciative of the fact that there was someone listening. That was one of the first recognitions that we had, that there were people who were actually listening to the program. And then I was honored because she came up and asked if I was Pastor Bob from the Refresh radio program. And I said, yes. And it was, I'm always glad to be able to meet people who are listening. You can see my face and, you know, put a face with a name. And then after she left, all of a sudden it became a reality that if she was listening, there were probably many others. And there have been a lot of encounters, with listeners through the years, and I'm very thankful for each one of them. But I remember telling my wife, it's like, we're representing Jesus. We're representing Merit Assembly of God. I'm representing our family. And now whenever I go out in public, I've got to be extra careful, because I don't want to bring any shame or any reproach on my King, my Lord, my Savior. But the goal of believers is not just to represent well in public, but to represent well in private. So for me, I want there to not be compartmentalization in my life. I want there to be continuity. And so if you ask my family, they would tell you that they have seen me at my less than perfect. They've heard me at my less than perfect. And I could say the same about them. And in doing that, you can either focus on the blemish or you can focus on the bride. That's a message that God gave me years ago. And so I choose to focus on the bride, on the one who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But the closer you get to people, the more you are going to see imperfections. And, you know, that's living in this fallen world. That's not the reality of heaven. The closer we get to Jesus, the more awareness we have of his absolute purity. He is not just love, he is absolute love. He is not just truth, he is absolute truth and absolute righteousness and absolutely just. And when he judges absolutely correctly. When he deals with spiritual hostilities, he does it in absolute domination. As he sits upon the throne, he is unequivocally competent and alone credentialed, if you will, to sit there. No one else deserves to be on that throne. Not you, not anyone. So here these creatures are, and they have access to the throne that, you know, can only be wildly imagined here on earth. And man, when they look at God and see what he's done on behalf of the saints, they humble themselves. They fall down. They assume a position of worship that is not just positional, where they bow down in respect of who God is, but they are very, very vocal about it. They praise God, not in silence, not just positional, but they use their voice, and the first thing that comes out is an exclamation of amen. Amen means truly. It means verily. I've heard it said that it means so be it. As they witness God's ultimate victory over this spirit of harlotry, if you will, the great harlot that had corrupted the earth and has been dealt with in finality, they said, amen. Now, you don't hear this much on the radio program, but at Merit Assembly of God, we are known to give some vocal exclamations whenever we praise the Lord, we sing to him, we worship him. There are times that we take out and out of our service and we say, this is not a time of choreographed this song requires this word after this word before this word, but we allow for the believers there to lift their voices to God so that they can praise him the way that their spirit is being quickened to praise God at that moment. And so these living creatures, they say, amen, truly, so be it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is very, very difficult. I would suggest that it is on the verge of impossible to be complaining to God and praising him at the same time. I can tell you that complaining to God has a lot of examples in the scripture that lead to negative consequences. Not always. God is 100% mercy. When he shows mercy, he's absolutely right in showing mercy. When he gives grace, he's absolutely right in showing that grace and pouring out his favor. But I can't find any downside in the Word of God when a person is praising God in spirit and in truth, and they are praising the Lord for who he is as well as what he's done. I can't find that there's a time where there's a downside that comes from that. Here's what I can also tell you, is that when we praise God, it never changes him because he's absolutely perfect. But praising him is the right thing to do, and it will have an impact upon who we are. There was a time when my son was involved in an activity and he was brand new to it, and we had spent money to sign him up for this activity that really there wasn't a whole lot of leeway in the budget at that point in time. And he wasn't getting to play very much. And there was an event that happened, and I can still remember it to this day. And I remember how it changed me. It hadn't changed my son's playing time. It hadn't changed his skill set or anything like that. That night changed me. And I was like, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you've done. I want to thank you for health in my body. I want to thank you for your spiritual victories. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for a sound mind. I want to thank you for a job. I tell you, when you start praising God, you...
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.